come. We certainly hope that you will recognize that everything that we do, everything that we say, we strive to be in line with what the New Testament teaches, what the Bible as a whole teaches, and certainly we hope that if you find anything contrary, that you will bring that to our attention and give us a chance to study these things. This morning we read the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, and this parable, certainly one that is preached on numerous times throughout the world. I know that I have preached on it at least a time or two, the focus typically being on the differences of people and on what they do with the gospel that is preached to them. And immediately after Jesus said those words in verses 3 through 8, we also saw verse 9 where he said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." This seems to be a common theme throughout this chapter, this hearing. He repeats this phrase itself a couple of times. He says it here in verse 9, also says it in verse 43, at the end of that verse, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." What did Jesus mean when he said this? What was he speaking of when he used this phrase? And that's what I would like to talk of more this morning. What do you do with the ears that you have been given? In a little bit we'll read the following verses where Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 through 10. We'll go ahead and turn to Isaiah at this time, and then we will turn back to Matthew if you wanted to keep a finger there. In Matthew 6 verses 9 and 10, it reads, "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed." He says you hear, but you do not understand. He says you see, but you do not perceive. What would seeing and hearing lead to, according to this passage? Seeing and hearing, obviously seeing and hearing the message of God, the words in this case of the prophet Isaiah, and certainly of later of the teachings of Jesus, seeing and hearing would lead to, as Isaiah said, understanding with the heart. It would lead to one being converted. It would lead to one being healed. This same phrase that we had seen in Matthew 13:9, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear," it's repeated several times, certainly in the parallel accounts in Mark 4:9 and Luke 8:8, where it also speaks of the parable of the sower and finishes with that same phrase. It's also found in Matthew 11:15, 13:43, Mark 4:23, 7:16, and Luke 14:35. And in Revelation, you'll see that it's found seven times in chapters 2 and 3. Not coincidentally, there are seven churches that are spoken to. They are all given that phrase, "Who hath ears to hear," or something to that effect, "let him hear." It's also found in Revelation 13, verse 9. Numerous times this idea is used and in several different contexts. In continuing with Matthew, the disciples, after Jesus said this, the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Who have the mysteries been revealed to according to Jesus? Certainly he's specifically talking to his disciples, as we can see. But since we also are seeing these, since we also see the explanations that are given in many of these, it's not just to the disciples, not just to those that are asking him this question, but to those who are seeing and hearing. And clearly, not all see and hear, as Jesus speaks of those that do not see, those that have closed their eyes, those that have closed their ears, and do not perceive the things that are taking place. He's not saying that they're physically deaf or blind. Certainly those physical ailments that people may have suffered at times did not stop Jesus from being able to communicate to anybody. It did not stop Jesus from being able to open their eyes or open their ears, if that was indeed appropriate. But rather they choose not to hear. And by choosing not to hear, they choose not to understand what is being said. Certainly they may actually hear the physical words that are being spoken. They may actually see these things that are taking place. But they choose not to accept them and to let them into their heart. And what they have will be taken from them. Those that choose to hear, however, will be given everything, according to this passage. This is what Jesus is teaching. In Matthew 13, 16, and 17, continuing from there, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Certainly these apostles aren't necessarily greater people, greater individuals than those that came before them, but now the time has come, and because they do indeed see, they are indeed seeing with their eyes, accepting what they are seeing, hearing and understanding, blessed are their eyes, blessed are their ears. Certainly their eyes and ears operate no better than anyone else's, with the exception of the fact that they allow them to be open. They allow them to understand the things that are taking place. They choose to actually see what is in front of them at this time. And because of this, blessed are their eyes and their ears. They choose to hear what is taught. As Jesus also added to that, many prophets, many messengers of God, many men that are righteous have desired to see these things and to hear these things. But these were the ones that were given to hear these things and to see these things, of which we can also now read at this time. Blessed are your eyes and ears, those who hear and see these things. And within the context of Jesus speaking to them in these manners, speaking to them about their eyes and their ears and their understanding of these things, he explains the parable of the sower in verses 18 through 23. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed, he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. There are four types of people that Jesus speaks of here, but what they all have in common is that they all heard the word of the kingdom. The message was preached to all of them. They all had the same opportunities at the outset. But certainly he goes on to speak of those that hear with no understanding. The seed that was given to them is simply taken away as if it was never there in the first place. There are others that hear the word and they receive it with joy. Immediately they receive it, but they have no root. They have no foundation. And very soon after, they are offended and fall away. Others hear the word of the kingdom and it is choked out by the cares of the world. They become unfruitful. No better than the other two that we've spoken of. And the final group are those that hear the word and with that have understanding. And it is because of that, the combination of the two, that causes them to bear fruit, hearing and understanding. But all heard the word. It was just a difference of how they dealt with it. Hearing by itself is certainly not enough. We'll turn over to Luke chapter 8, verse 18. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus teaches, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given; whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Certainly some similar wording to what we had seen before, although he begins this, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." It seems that the context seems to be talking about how much do you hear, as he says within here, not with reference to the quantity, with the many words that one might hear, but rather to the quality, the completeness of what they hear. Some that were hearing Jesus perhaps didn't want to hear about repentance, perhaps didn't let repentance sink into their minds. Some didn't want to hear studying the scriptures. Certainly today we can understand these things as well. Some didn't want to hear about being baptized. Some didn't want to hear about doing anything. Some wanted to hear other things added into what they had been taught. Perhaps a better meal instead of the Lord's Supper, or mechanical instruments, or gymnasiums, or various things that certain might add into what they hear. But what needs to be ensured do we hear to understand? Or do we hear only in as much as it helps to justify our own thoughts? Certainly there are two different, very conflicting perspectives on the scriptures. One is to hear and to accept what is being taught, to try to understand the things that are written within. The other is to begin with your beliefs already set and try to see how the scriptures will justify your arguments. Even the apostles didn't always understand perfectly. They didn't always hear perfectly. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus criticizes their hearing. In verse 14 beginning, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And Jesus charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, "Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember?" Jesus asked these same apostles that had been told earlier that they had ears to hear, "Blessed are your eyes and ears," they were told. And at this time, he asks them, "With your eyes do you not see? With your ears do you not hear? Do you not understand these things that have taken place?" Certainly the apostles were not always perfect in their understanding, and we too should never be so bold as to take our hearing and understanding for granted, to assume that we are the ones that understand all things, and that we have no need to continue to strive to understand such things. Certainly, we don't always think that about everything, but maybe there's an issue that we think we understand perfectly, and sometimes we'll not be open to what the Scriptures truly teach, if it is indeed different. In Mark chapter 4, verse 23, we actually see essentially the same context as Luke 8, 18. The two verses that precede each of them are pretty much identical, if I'm not mistaken. In verse 23, beginning, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." So we see our phrase again. "And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Again, similar ideas to what we have seen before. Take heed what you hear. Luke 8:18 had worded it, "Take heed how you hear." Again, the context is the same. The context still seems to be, how much do you hear, with regard to the quality and the quantity, but the actual words used, "and take heed what you hear," are certainly worth considering at this time. In Matthew 17, verse 5, We see Jesus with Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration. It reads in verse 5, "While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Certainly at this time and later, as more would become apparent to these apostles, they recognized what they were being told at this time, as they had seen Moses and Elijah and Jesus all together, and they heard these words that they should hear Jesus. And very shortly after, the only one that they saw any longer was Jesus. They recognized that he was the only one that they should be hearing. He was the one that had the authority now. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about things that would happen among the church. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Paul says that some will speak lies in hypocrisy. Some will give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, certainly not the doctrine of Christ, certainly not those that are hearing Jesus. Also in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." Some, he says, not wanting to hear Jesus, not wanting to understand what Jesus is teaching and the hope that he brings, he says that they will not endure sound doctrine, and as a result they will raise up for themselves teachers that will speak whatever it is that they want to hear, that will tell them what they want to hear, as opposed to what the Scriptures teach, which many times was not what the people wanted to hear. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, Peter says that we also have a more sure word of prophecy, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the dark day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We are given the words of God that we can indeed hear and understand and to know His will. And in light of the idea that there will be some that arise that do not bring this gospel, as was taking place in Galatia, Paul tells them in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you received, let him be accursed." Paul said that they shouldn't accept anything different than what they had received at this time. Not even if it came from Paul, not even if it came from Peter or any of the other pillars of the church at this time, any of the other apostles or followers of the apostles. There wasn't anyone, not even an angel, that could come down and supersede what has already been given, as what had been given was complete. Jesus, in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 30, speaks of the sheep and the shepherd. We won't read through the entire chapter, but we'll pick some parts. We'll start with the first three verses. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up by some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." The sheep of his fold hear his voice. In verse 4 it reads, When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They follow him. They know his voice. Verse 5, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know only the voice. They know not the voice of strangers. Jesus says that his sheep will hear his voice, that they will follow him, that they will know his voice, that they will not follow after strangers and strange doctrines and strange voices. That is how he describes his people. Continuing on in verse 7, he mentions that he is the door of the sheep. In verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. In verse 16, he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Not only those of his fold, but other sheep that hear his voice, he will bring in to his fold. Any that hear his voice, he will bring to himself. We'll go ahead and read the last few verses of this, taking up in verse 24. The Jews round about him said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, but as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. These Jews had been seeing the things that they needed to see. They had been seeing the same things that the apostles had seen, though likely the apostles had seen more. But they refused to believe the things that they had seen. And Jesus says very clearly that they do not believe these things because they choose not to see, because they are not of his sheep, because his sheep are characterized by hearing his voice. He knows them, and they follow him. Those are the sheep of Jesus. Those are those that follow Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, Paul speaks of hearing in part, as well as some other things. In chapter 10, verse 13, Paul says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Certainly, that is the hope of all. That was the hope of any that were walking at this day, that Paul was speaking this, and that should be the hope of any today, to be saved. But he adds to that in verse 14, How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. To believe in Jesus, to be of his sheep, to follow him, they must hear, just as Jesus said several times, His sheep hear His voice. Romans 10:17 adds to that, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So by hearing comes faith. And of course, where does hearing come from? He spells that out as well, that hearing comes from the Word of God. Hearing doesn't come from Paul, it didn't come from Peter, it didn't come from any of the apostles. But hearing came from the Word of God, and sometimes it was through their mouths, sometimes through their pens, but hearing came from the Word of God. And to hear, there must be a preacher. Certainly, we don't assume today that that means that someone like me or like one of you has to always be sent, but we also have the benefit of the preachers before us. As Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the scriptures that we have been given, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I certainly recognize it in my own life. When I tried to pick up the Bible myself and read it, I had difficulty. While some may have less difficulty than I had, it certainly was of great benefit to have a preacher to be able to speak with, to have those that understand the scriptures, to be able to help guide and help teach from the scriptures, to help show me what the scriptures were actually teaching. And he adds to that, how can they preach except they be sent? In Matthew 10:27, Jesus tells them what they should do with the things that they see and the things that they hear. Jesus says in verse 27, what I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in the light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Jesus was not bringing a message to individuals that they could hear and understand to save themselves. That was not his purpose. Jesus' purpose certainly was to save those individuals that heard him. But in addition to that, it was to send them out so that they could teach others the message that they have been given. Jesus didn't convert Paul because he liked Paul and hoped Paul would make it into heaven. Jesus converted Paul so that he could be of aid to the church, so that he could go out and teach many in the world about the gospel of God. So that Paul, the things that he had seen, he could speak in the light, the things that he had heard in the ear, he could preach upon the housetops. Any that received the word of God, that was their responsibility in following. Hearing is certainly the first step. As Paul said, to believe one must hear. Nothing is ever accomplished without first hearing. One can say that they believe in God, but if it's a God that they do not know it of, it does them no good. Just as Paul recognized when he went to the brethren in Athens, they weren't brethren at the time, but certainly some became. But hearing, while it is a step, it is not a step that is ever completed. It's not a step that we can move past. We cannot stop hearing, because if we ever stop hearing, then we will stop understanding. It's a continual process. Not only is it our first step, but it's always our next step. In addition to other things that we might do, hearing is always our next step. As we learn with the sower, hearing with understanding leads to bearing fruit. Hearing with understanding is not just with the purpose of saving ourselves, saving our own souls, but with the purpose of being children of God and following His will and doing as He has commanded for us. What we hear, as He said in Matthew 10:27, we are to preach on the housetops. And as He gave the commission in Matthew 28, and as we can take the example of such, He says in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In following the example that we have been given, all here have certainly heard. All here have heard something, although different amounts, different levels along the way. But as we have heard, as Matthew 10:27 says, we are to go and preach on the housetops. As Paul said in Romans 10:13-15, how can they hear except a preacher be sent to them? Having heard the word, having heard his message, having heard the words of Jesus, we have all now been sent to them that have not heard, to those that are out there. Certainly, I think it's important to keep in mind from time to time the responsibilities that we have, the hearing that is such a necessity throughout our walk. That the apostles certainly never did it, they did it right at times, but they didn't always hear and understand perfectly. And we must know and recognize that we are not always going to hear and understand perfectly, but we should always strive to seek that understanding. We should always strive to continue studying the Word so that we can understand His will and all that He has in store for us. And having heard, we must all go and preach the Word that we have been given. At this time, if there is any here that have heard the word and that have understood and recognized the need for the salvation that Jesus brings, for the hope He brings, then we have opportunity here. We are able to help you if you recognize that baptism is something that you need to do. For those that have had difficulties in their life, that have struggled, that need the prayers of the saints, or that need public confession of public sin, we can make that opportunity for you as well. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation, I would ask you to please come forward as we stand and as we sing.